Today on The Grave Talks, Undeniable Abilities, a conversation with April Bissette. It all started late one night when April was 4 years old. As she awoke, standing at the foot of her bed was her father. Father she loved, but had passed away several years prior. This experience, which seemed to be the gateway and event that opened her mind and abilities to the paranormal. April would discover her abilities as a natural-born clairvoyant, remote viewer, automatic writer, ghost hunter, and shaman. She's investigated some of the most haunted places in the U.S. and accurately relayed messages from the spirits who inhabit these haunted locations. Today, we hear her story on The Grave Talks.
Oh, my God. So, it started when I was 4.
Okay.
So, it's crazy. Usually, most psychics will know at a very early age when they have something. We had just moved. I was born in Hoboken. We moved into our new house, which I called the country because it was Bergen County back then. You know, okay. It was like all farmland. And one night I woke up to my father standing at the foot of my bed. And, you know, I started yelling for my mom to tell her, you know, daddy's here, daddy's here. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is my dad has been dead for 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's when it all started. And I think somehow he opened a portal, because after that, all hell broke loose in that house. And there was spirits coming in from everywhere, but they weren't good spirits. They were like, I was getting pushed. My family was feeling something, feeling like, you know, the energy was off. My sisters were getting grabbed like around their ankles when they would walk down the stairs. Mm-hmm. But I was seeing them. So I, you know, there was this, I didn't even get to that yet. The one night in this room again, after my father, yeah. I had woken up. I wake up, I'm facing the outside of my bed, like, you know, by the side table. And I had a doll in there and I was playing with the doll. And I turn over and there's this, I always call it the statue, this black as black thing in the night, laying in my bed with two red eyes, just telling me it was going to get me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I screamed.
Yeah. Let me before we start jumping further, I want to kind of get some more context on the night that you saw your father show up. Now, you're 4. You had understood that your father had passed away, but then suddenly he's there, and you're still at that age where, you know, almost anything is possible. So it had to be, you know, exciting and joyous, but then you're yelling to your mom. How did your mom handle that? What was the thought process? What was the experience that very night when that particular incident happened?
Well, I don't think they thought much of it. They just thought I was having nightmares.
Okay.
I knew my dad was dead. You know, I knew he had died because she told us, you know, daddy went to heaven. And, you know, I'm Italian, you know, and for some sick reason, Italians like to take pictures of the dead in the casket. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the pictures, you know. But when I saw him, now, like, when I think back to this, like, you know, when I saw him, like, I know it's my dad, but I know he's not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
So I knew he wasn't, it wasn't right. Something was off.
Sure.
And then when my mom got in the room, he was gone. So I actually never had contact with him again. I did get a reading and he did come through. Mm-hmm. This is, probably like 10 years ago, but yeah. Never made contact to me personally.
Sure.
After that, it was just like there was these weird things going on, things moving, the windows opening by themselves up on this third floor. The third floor was where all the bedrooms were.
Yeah.
I would hear a baby crying. There was something in my closet. I never knew what was in the closet. I think it was that thing. But this thing comes back.
Yeah.
This thing saved me. That I the statue, I always called it the statue.
Yeah.
Stayed with me for years. Even invading my dreams too. But now there's others coming in. So now I have, I'm seeing like people that used to live there, because this is an old house. This is my stepdad's house. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing his family, which they weren't bad. But then there was this one man. Now, at this point, I'm sleeping in my brother's room because I'm so scared. Mm-hmm. Nobody slept in that room ever again. Nobody would go into that room because it was the windows opening, sure, and hearing the baby cry.
Others in the house were experiencing these things as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The whole family pretty much was, except for my brother, didn't experience anything because he was older, going out all the time. But nobody would sleep up there. And plus, there was something with the stairs, because the stairs, you would get grabbed.
When
I go into the story more, you'll know why with those stairs.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Were you experiencing this more intensely than others? Because you had mentioned a little bit earlier, they were experiencing this, but you were seeing them. You were seeing these entities?
Oh, I was seeing them. Okay. I'm seeing them. And okay, now they're attacking. They want me.
Yeah.
They're going after me now. So, you know, like when this portal opened, it was like bad spirits are coming through, earthbound spirits, residual spirits, everything was coming through. Yeah. Ever since that night my father came to me, now I'm sitting in my brother's room, but every night I kept hearing, you know, footsteps walking to my brother's door.
Yeah.
And I would hide in the blanket, because in my head, now I see things in my head, I can tell what I'm seeing. And there's this really tall man in a gray suit, and he is staring at me, and he hates me. Like, I can feel he hates me. I don't want to open my eyes, but I can hear him breathing. And for some reason, I don't know why, I think it's my brother, he could never cross that threshold, but just him coming to that, you know, to that door, you know, daily, mm-hmm, would, you know, scare the hell out of me. I would, you know, they want you afraid.
Yeah.
They feed off the negative feelings. You know, fear is negative.
Sure.
So now, I think when I was in bed and I'm dozing off. Now I'm a teenager. Mm-hmm. I'm actually up in my parents' room. I'm up in the third floor. It's not like I'm older. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. But this is my parents' room. Everything happened in the other room. All of a sudden, I'm dozing off. I'm watching TV and I open my eyes because I feel somebody staring at me. And there's a man in a bomber jacket staring at me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm awake. You know, mm-hmm, awake. This isn't me waking up from sleep. I close my eyes. I open him. He's still there. I do this two more times and he's still there. By the fourth time when I open my eyes, he's gone. I ran down the stairs. I scream from my mom and I tell her. She shows me a picture of the man that I saw. It was my stepdad's brother, Rudolph, that died in the war. Hence the bomber jacket, mm-hmm, that he wore. And that was the picture of him in the bomber jacket.
So there's a lot of things coming and going here. There, it seems, you know, you have this dark statue type thing. You see your stepdad's brother that shows up.
He was actually there to help me.
Okay.
I wasn't afraid of him. Yeah. I knew he was there to help me, but I don't feel like seeing, you know, you just don't, like, you know, I'm too young for this.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're there to help you, but you don't want to be experiencing it to begin with. I want to ask you this. When we kind of look at the beginning of this, where you see your dad, and then suddenly everything just kind of goes to shit really quick, and it gets and it's like, what the hell? Do you think that was your dad that showed up that first night, or do you think it was something else that was kind of like, yeah, interact with me, I'm going to look like your dad, and that's going to open the door here for my friends?
No, you know what? That was my dad.
Okay.
Because I always tell people, how did you feel? Like, because people, you know, regular people are going to encounter ghosts. I said, how did you feel?
Yeah.
Were you scared? Like, or did you, what did you sense? I knew it was my dad because I sensed love from him. Mm-hmm. But now you see, this is where it starts getting crazy. Now, I did stay up in that room. My stepfather made us stay up in that room. Mm-hmm. It wasn't immediately after that, until the incidents started happening. Now that they start mimicking my mother's voice, mm-hmm, and waking me up in the middle of the night. And I feel like my mom's like, you know, like she needed me. It was urgent. So I wake up now because I lost my dad. I don't want to lose my mom too.
Sure.
Sound like. So I'm waking up in the middle of the night in the dark. And I'm kind of like in a daze. I always wind up by those stairs. they wanted me to fall down the stairs. They tried to get me to those stairs. And that's why those stairs were so important. They would grab my sister's ankles to try and pull them to make them fall down the stairs. Now I start having dreams. It's like they were invading my dreams that I could fly down the stairs. Mm-hmm. So I tried to fly down the stairs.
And how did that work out for you?
But it was that statue thing stayed with me. It started popping up as I got older. I know this sounds so crazy, but it would like whisper in my ear and it would say my full name all the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to a class with another medium friend of mine and we were doing meditation and all of a sudden that thing popped up and started. And she looked at it, like, she's like, "You okay?" And then she saw it and she's like, "Oh my God," you know, that she described what I was seeing, the black thing with the red eyes. And I'm like, this thing just followed me around. Now, fast forward, you know, I get married. I'm engaged. I'm getting ready to get married. I have these dreams all the time of this thing, but it keeps changing. The storyline is I'm in a dream and something's chasing me and I get away from it. Like the one dream, like I call the police come in, and I'm like, at the end of the dream, I'm like, all right, I'm safe. The police got here. And as the dream's about to end, the police officer looks at me and it's actually the thing took over the police officer. So the dream ends. So like, I'll have this dream a few days later and the thing chases me again and it changes into another person who helps me, you know, like it takes over their body. Mm-hmm. It's like chasing me. And in the last dream I had with it and I got rid of it, I'm engaged now to my husband. In the dream, it was going after my husband. And in the dream, I killed it. And I never had a problem with it again. Knock on wood, I don't want that back.
Why do you think, when you look at this retrospectively, and why do you think it was after you? Was it after you yourself? Was it after your whole family? Was it just trying to cause chaos?
It was after me because they knew I had the gift. Okay. I guess people like me, because we're actually helping people.
Yeah.
It's positive energy. It's just... I have the light. I always say, like, you know, we have different lights, you know, like we have our auras. You've heard auras before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Psychics shine differently. It's a very bright light that spirits can see. So we can help others cross over. We could help, you know, the spirits that have crossed over or are stuck. Mm-hmm. They don't want us to do that.
Sure.
Or it wanted to possess me or take away my gift. I don't know, but all I know, it was trying to take me out. So,
what do you think it was that was doing this? Are we talking, was this a demon? What do you think it is or was?
You know, I still to this day, and I never, you know what? I never wanted to put too much energy into it because I feel like if I put too much energy into thinking about it, mm-hmm. I'll bring it back, mm-hmm. you know. But I don't think it was a demon. But, it's on the lines of that. Like, I got to, I've dealt with a lot of spirits. Like, I travel all over to haunted locations.
Sure.
I'm actually hired to go to places. And one of the places that I went to is the Shanley Hotel, mm-hmm. which Kelly's a good friend of mine. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I haven't, but I've heard of it.
Yeah. So I've been there quite a few times. And I always loved the place because I said this is a good place for, you know, beginners to go, you know, that are getting into the paranormal field, mm-hmm. because the ghosts for the most part are friendly.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to harm you, but until she said, "I want to take you somewhere." And this is when she took me down into the basement, and holy crap, the thing that was down there, it was like this tall, lanky man with a bloody devil's head. And it started vibrating, like, you know, we all have energy field, we're mm-hmm. frequencies, you know, we're pure energy.
Sure.
I don't know what it did, but it like penetrated my auric field that it made me sick to my stomach. I'd never experienced that before. And I'm like, I ran up the stairs and I'm like, I'm not going down there. And apparently Kelly said that they a few months prior to that, they had a famous UK psychic there. Same thing happened to them, described the same thing I saw. But while I was upstairs and I closed the door, this thing like came at me like through the door to me, and it let me know that it's not here for the living. It's here for the bad spirits. which there are some bad spirits that did some bad things but didn't cross over because they're afraid to. It likes to control, and I call it the soul collector. So for some reason, I feel like that thing I saw, something like that, but try to kill people.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard of stories where people have died from, you know, I always say, like, you know, you can't really live in a place where there's spirits because eventually your body's going to get sick. Again, with the energy field, they vibrate at a different frequency than us. It'll affect you. Just now, I get affected very easily when I feel spirit because, you know, I'm attuned to it. That's why I got so sick with that thing down there. It threw me off so bad that I was sick for like a week. Not like, you know, physically sick. I was just sick to my stomach. Mentally, I couldn't do any readings. I had to cancel all my readings. It just did a number on me. So these I like to call soul collectors. They're not demons, but they're not good. You know, they control, you know what? A lot of poltergeists are controlled by these soul collectors.
It's an interesting term, soul collector. It's something that I ask a lot about with my guests. Not specifically soul collector, but I like that word. Because I wonder where, you know, are these some sort of dark entity or are these things, like created by us? Is it a collective of our energy over time that kind of creates this?
Say that too.
Yeah.
I think it's a little both. I think there's some that were here before that are stuck here and they know how to control other spirits. You know, the earthbounds are easily controlled. If there's one spirit, I always say, if you got a spirit in the house, there's going to be others, and you're going to get the soul collector type energy around because they know where they are because they like to control them. And that's when it turns into a poltergeist. Because I've done a lot of cases, like, you know, I do private cases where homeowners will call me. And I've always noticed that there was like a dormant spirit, or like it'll pick up a dormant spirit that was there, like an earthbound. And these type of soul collectors kind of like feed off of them and make them do the bidding, like, you know, the poltergeist activity. And they don't, it's like they're slaves, essentially slaves in the spirit world.
Is something like that, I mean, when it's soul collector, what is its purpose? Is it to use the energy of these other souls?
Uses the energy of the other souls that are earthbound. They're easy to control. Like I said, like they're slaves.
Yeah.
I would have died, I would, you know, they would have loved me, you know, like to be dead and try to keep me here from crossing over.
Now, and that's an interesting thing. I mean, why does the earthbound spirit that is being controlled by this soul collector type thing, why does it not have the free will to just get away from it? Is there something there where it literally has complete control over it?
You know what it is? They don't know until I will tell them. But it's like this. When we cross over, some people are afraid to cross over, either for what they did. They're afraid to where they're going, so they don't go into the light, or they don't want to leave a family member like me. Like, you know, I don't want to leave my daughter, you know, like,
sure,
I'll probably get stuck here.
Oh no, I fully plan on haunting my daughter. I've already told her that. I'm like, and your grandkids, they're going to get freaked out. I'm going to screw with them.
I'm sorry. I just killed a mosquito in my house.
Another soul
I will kill bugs. But you know what, the earthbounds, a lot of them get confused. So if they're stuck in this plane for too long, they become confused because you're in between. They almost start losing their minds. And I always said that one movie, What Dreams May Come, is a perfect example of like what happens when they get stuck, or the suicides, because suicides usually are afraid to cross over because they think they're going to hell because of what they're taught.
Sure.
After staying in this plane for too long, because it's nothingness, and you start becoming confused, almost like they forget after a long time, they forget who they are or what they're doing here, and they're scared, essentially. And that's why some change, like you'll see, like you know, Amy Allen, when she describes the spirits that she's seen, like, you know, they had five arms, you know, hanging from the tree, mm-hmm. because they can project themselves like that to us. But it's all mind control, like how they want us to see them, to scare us.
Yeah. What is the purpose of trying to scare us?
Because they're scared, too. They don't want you to interfere with them. They don't want some are afraid of being crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that because they don't see, because they think, you know, there's either hell that you're going to or heaven. But in actuality, it's different levels when mm-hmm. you cross over. It's even the very bad. The scary thing is, this is what hell would be to me. But you have to watch your life review.
Uh-huh.
You watch to see how you affected people. So if you were a mean person and, you know, or owned a company and you fired a bunch of people and you didn't care and you knew that, you know, their family needed health care because the one son had cancer, you know, mm-hmm. something like that, you're going to see how that affected them by you firing that guy, mm-hmm. that the son died because they couldn't afford the cancer treatments.
Sure.
You know, or if you killed somebody, you know, you're a mobster, kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You see how that changed. You have to watch everyone, how you affected everyone's life. And that's painful to watch.
Then what?
It's like being hung, you know, like you have a long night and you drank all night and you kind of wake up the next morning, you start remembering a little bit and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And you try to shake it out of your head. It's like that, but you have to watch it.
Then what happens after that? I mean, once the review is done and you realize.
The review is like you have to work on it until you move up. We're working on ourselves. We have to redeem ourselves.
Are we working on ourselves on the other side to help others? Or is that part
to
of
help
it?
Others.
Okay.
To help others.
Okay. So it's like, okay, here's what you've done wrong. Now let's go out and let's do some good. You're on this side now, so you have a whole new deck of cards to play with, but you're still back out on the field. And this is your new setting. And then, I mean, is there a choice?
And guess what? You get to choose. You get to choose. You can come back here. You could do mm-hmm. that. You don't have to do anything at all. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not a slave to yourself. It's all free will. It's nice when you cross over. Even though you got to see the life review, it's not hell. It's not fire. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not nice to be stuck.
I mean, is that something where, I mean, is there an expiration on earthbound spirits? Is there a certain point where it's like, okay, you've been hanging around too long here, and it's time for you to go to the next level?
Some will cross over. Sometimes they will see their families.
Mm-hmm.
some, like the one case I did, I swear to God, the one spirit was like dormant, like as if it fell asleep. And this other spirit, that soul collector, woke it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bizarre. I wish people could see what I see.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. I'm trying to think of another case. I'm sorry, my mind is pushed.
No, let me ask you a question.
I just did six readings.
Sure. No, let me ask you a question about something you had said earlier. You said you can't live in a place where there are spirits. And something that I've kind of wondered about over the years, just by doing this show and the other shows and literally hearing thousands upon thousands of ghost stories. Is there really a place that doesn't have spirits? Isn't even like the most calm, you know, brand new construction, not on a burial ground, just in a fine place? Aren't there still spirits like kind of everywhere?
Yes, of course. I always say that, like, you know, I said, how do you think I do? I like, you know, people talk about Ouija boards and everything mm-hmm. like that. I said, it's the same thing as I do. I could pull a spirit out of anywhere I go,
mm-hmm.
you know, but some, like, actually it is, it's like dormant. Like I can go back. I could see, you know, what happened here with spirits in the past. You can kind of bring them too, but it's weird. Some places, the spirits do get stuck that don't cross over. They love their house. They want to stay in their house.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, you know, like it's other spirits see this. Other spirits will come in there. It'll awaken other spirits that might be earthbound. But I do feel like some of them like kind of fall asleep. It's bizarre. But I have crossover spirits. I like successfully crossover spirits, but they have free will. And then some I couldn't do. Some houses I couldn't clear.
Tell me
like
about-
I went to this one house. Yeah. I remember I'm talking to the woman on the phone. She's telling me we're having a really bad problem. The family's scared. We're all staying in one bedroom. And as she's talking to me, and it's my worst nightmare. You know those creepy, crawly women that crawl on all fours on their back?
Yes.
That's what I saw. That it was. So I get to, I said, I'm not going to tell her until I get there. So I get to the door. She's there. And I just walk right past. I go into her kitchen. I said, things are being knocked off the shelves. And she said, yes. And I said, I told her what I was seeing. I said, but listen, this is how she's, her perception that she wants me to see, because it scares me, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm walking around the house. It's funny. And I go into the master bedroom, and all of a sudden this older woman spirit starts pushing me out. Get out. So I said to the girl, I said, who's Claire? She goes, oh my God, that's my mother. She just died. I said, she's in that room protecting you guys. She doesn't even want me in there. So finally, I'm going around the house. I want to find the spirit of this woman that I saw crawling all around, knocking over things. So I go into the basement and, oh my God. So I'm walking around and I could feel her there. And this is funny. And then I'm walking with them through the basement. And I said, who's Brian the fireman? And he's like, turn around. And I turn around and there's a fireman suit and it says, Brian. It was their friend that just passed away, fireman. So finally, I get, he was actually helped protecting them. And I was telling her, I said, do you hear scratching on your floor or on the, you know, the, and banging
in the
living room, you know, which we were under? She said, yeah. I said, well, this is where she stays. And she crawls on the ceiling to do that, to scare you guys, to get, she wants you out. Finally, I find her. Where she is, she stays and hides in this corner in the basement. And I'm able to talk to her. And the problem was that she lived there with her husband many, many years ago. And she went crazy. The husband, you know, she was mentally ill. Mm-hmm. The husband had to sell the house and put her away. Mm-hmm. And she's died in the place and came back. She's looking for her husband. She was successfully crossed over. That was so beautiful. But it's funny, when I first saw her, I saw the creepy crawly lady.
Yeah.
But she, as I'm talking to her, you know, talking to her on a human level, she changed back to her human self. But it was quite beautiful. She was able to cross over to be with her husband.
I guess, why did she want to do the creepy crawly thing? Was that just to scare people? Is that
just to scare people?
Okay.
But plus, she was mentally ill here.
Sure.
She was mentally ill when she crosses. She kept it with her because she didn't. Once we cross over into, you know, heaven, the other side, mm-hmm. any physical ailments, mental ailments, jealousy, hatred, that all falls off of us. It's beautiful. There's nothing like that in there. It's beautiful.
But
it's all happiness.
But it stays with you until you fully cross over. You're not just dead and it's gone. You have to cross over.
You have to cross over.
Otherwise, who
you
are.
You have to go into that light. And the light is beautiful. The light is beautiful. So some get scared. So you know what happens? You like in Poltergeist, like, you know, they're saying, stay away from the light. Go into the light. They were arguing about it because, you know, they're getting two stories about it. But some of them, if they're here too long, that light scares them.
You know,
what is that? I've never seen that before. You know, so
does the light fade away at some point for them where they can't see it anymore?
It's always there. It can come back at any time. It's just a thought.
Okay.
You know, I wish I was with my husband. You know, if they stop and the clarity hits them, you know, because now you're walking around earthbound and you're crazy at this point, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you're stuck in a dark basement all the time. You start losing. And plus, she was mentally ill.
Yeah.
If you stop for one minute and have remembrance of your past life, mm-hmm. and it comes back, and they'll look for you too. That's what I was going to tell you. I have a clip of it too. They filmed me doing this. I went to this place and I had no idea anything about it. I was actually going to watch my friends, Mustafa Gattalori and Daryl Morrison. They were doing an event there. But they asked me if I would walk around. And I'm walking around and all of a sudden this man like comes at me, past, of course, a spirit. And he's like, he's frantic. He's like, I need to find my daughter. I need to find my daughter. And then all of a sudden I'm hearing a little girl's voice tell me my daddy's looking for me, but we can't see each other. She had crossed over. He did not. Mm-hmm. And she's not telling me how this happens. I'm like, I keep seeing somebody falls through a like a trap door or something and dies. It was actually the little girl died. Mm-hmm. And he passed away. He's looking for her in this place. He won't leave this place because this is where she died. He's looking for her, thinking she's still there. Mm-hmm. She crossed over. But it was so sad because I start crying because you're hearing a little girl saying, you know, my daddy can't see me. My daddy can't see me. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, she's telling me she crossed over. And I'm trying to tell him, but he's so frantic and crazy. He won't even listen to me. Mm-hmm. So it was, and it's a haunted location. And, you know, usually the haunted locations that you can't cross over anyone. So
why is that?
Well, you know, that's their business. You know, that's how they get people there.
Oh, sure. I see what you're saying. Yeah. We're the rule, literally on the rule sheet, it's don't cross anyone over. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't cross anyone. Yeah. No sage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you think this is an interesting question I have about locations like that, especially since like in the last 10, 15 years when paranormal tourism is, you know, kind of become a thing. And all these locations that are haunted, you can go and rent the night and stay there. When something like that is going on, are we increasing the amount of spirits in these locations? Are people making them more haunted by this focus on them being haunted and by all these different groups of people having different tactics of trying to communicate and open those doors? Where
people look crazy to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like before, like, yeah, it was haunted. It had a couple spirits, but now it's like, it's a house party.
Well, you know, it's funny. Listen, I know a lot of people in the business, a lot of people on TV I'm friendly with.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say names, but I know there was a certain location where they were actually trying to trap the spirits to stay there using sigils and, mm-hmm. and magic.
And why? What's the purpose of something like that? That seems like a very humanistic.
To make it more haunted, you know.
It's a very narcissistic
spirits. They're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, when you lock, I can imagine. Well, even though they deserve people in prison, you know, you lock them up for so long, you know, they're going to go a little loopy after a while.
That wraps up part one of our very fascinating conversation with April. In part two, can a human being trap the soul of a spirit through a ritual or method? How often are dreams not just our imaginations running wild? Then we take a bit of a personal turn. Are there dead bodies buried on the property of the Grave Talk Studios? Who are they? And do they linger here today? And what does the future hold for another cast member of our programs, my daughter, Harper, of Real Ghost Stories Online? We'll hear some very fascinating information that April brings up on today's episode. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.